You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Cage Match, a podcast where we promise we're going to do it monthly and then it ends up not actually happening monthly, but I'm going to blame the COVID for that.
Yeah, I got COVID.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. Also, life just happens.
Man. Yeah.
It really does.
That is true.
But yeah, you know, we're going to try to stick with the monthly, and I think you know, as the spring comes by and we're talking about like health getting better in the spring generally, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
It should probably work.
Yeah.
Just no more COVID. Was that the first time you had COVID?
Yeah, that was the first time ever. Well, the first official time I had it, it wasn't official.
Uh-huh.
They did a chest x-ray. It was like before, they asked me if I like went to China at urgent care. And I was like, no. And they're like, okay, so you don't have the China virus,
which is what they were calling. Oh, so it was way early then.
Yeah. So they took,
you could have still had it then.
Well, they took a chest x-ray and my doctor reviewed it like a couple years later. And she was like, oh yeah, you definitely had COVID because of the forms, the pools that were in my lungs. The COVID crystals is what they call it. So I definitely had it,
so and they it was treated it like horrible. It was like a bad case of bronchitis.
Yeah,
or something
they
like that.
Treated it like it was pneumonia.
Right.
So it was horrible.
Yeah.
This time around, it wasn't bad. I just slept for 2 days, and then my brain's been really dumb ever since.
Of course,
I have really bad brain fog.
Recording is when my dogs start barking.
They're fine.
So everybody, those are my dogs. I think you've met them before at other podcasts. Hold on, just a moment. Hey! Stop it!
Keep that in there.
I might be keeping that in. We'll see how that goes. And of course, he's going to bark again as soon as I say stop, right? But I think actually Brooke and I might have had COVID at that same time in the beginning.
No, she definitely did because she was sick for like 3 months.
We were messed up in right around that time.
Yeah, and Peach had it, Sassy had it, and we were all told it was either the flu or pneumonia.
Right. Yeah, I was sick for like 2 weeks, and Brooke like couldn't kick it for like two months solid.
Yeah, she was really sick for a really long time,
and it was like a flu, but like
forever.
Yeah, it didn't stop. Now neither of us like lost our sense of taste, but of course you don't get every. You know,
yeah, I didn't have symptoms. That either. I was in bed for like 5 days and I couldn't breathe, couldn't get out of bed to even go to the bathroom. It was horrible.
That sucks.
Yeah, but this time around, it was pretty great. I'm just like really stupid.
Yeah.
Like I got lost in my own neighborhood a couple days ago. I had to pull over and GPS.
To be honest, like I feel like that could happen whether you're sick or not.
Hey, listen.
All right. Well, hey.
Excellent sense of direction.
So we are back this month. We're recording at the end of February. You're listening to this on March 1st when it drops, and I'm gonna get it out on time. Even
fucking
though I
better.
I'm going to. I've now recorded this. Yeah. So when people see it came out on the 2nd, they're gonna go, that lying asshole.
They're never gonna listen again.
Maybe
my sister's
my
gonna stop listening.
Yeah. Our
one listener.
Rex, your sister and Rex and like every other episode, Dee Dee. That's about it. I think those are our podcast listeners. No, I appreciate everybody who has been listening. I think we've been averaging several hundred listens an episode.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of that.
We're still playing with the format a bit. Last episode, we were back to similar to like what we had been doing. The one before that, we just bitched about how neither of us really, we like found Mandy to just be a bummer.
Yeah, it was a stone cold bummer.
Yeah, it was. And that episode's kind of a bummer too. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I tried. that was really disappointing to me because the first time I watched Mandy, I really liked it.
Yeah.
And I rewatched it for the show and I was like, what
the fuck? It's so weird.
And like the payoff is there's some fun stuff at the end, but the problem is like it wasn't enough of a payoff to get through that first half.
Yeah, it wasn't enough of a reward.
Yeah. But So if there's anything that we do in this podcast that you really like and you want us to, like, you know, spend a little more time with, let us know. If there's anything else you'd like to see, or there's things you don't want to see, you know, feedback's good. I might ignore some of it.
We're gonna ignore all of it. Keep doing what we're doing. We do appreciate that.
So definitely share your feedback. One thing we haven't done that we're going to get back to for sure is some cocktails.
Oh yeah.
But we're doing coffee today. We've done coffee the last couple times.
Yeah, I think that's mostly just because we're both wrecked.
Yeah, definitely. You were just coaching some fresh meat at the roller derby rink, and I. That sounds so weird. Coaching fresh meat. Those are the new skaters at a roller derby team, for those who aren't derby people. Yeah. And I was just running some errands, and I did not sleep well last night. So we're both pretty toast, yeah.
Awoken by a shitstorm.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, literally, I had to clean up shit at 3 a.m.
It was his own.
Yeah, it wasn't this time. So I'm going to jump right into some news from our boy Nick. So last time we talked about how his first starring role in a Western was coming out, and it is now on VOD. It's called The Old Way. It was in theaters for, I think, 3 days, so it did really well. It was one of those movies that I think it came out for a week, and I think it literally got dropped on VOD while it was still in theater. So it didn't really last long.
Yeah.
A week or two, and some theaters might have had it a little longer than that, but yeah. Renfield, the one that a lot of people are excited about, horror comedy with him and Nicholas Holt, is coming out in April 14th to be specific. So I'm sure we'll it comes out right before tax day. So
I owe so much money in taxes.
Oh, man. So you won't be using your tax return to go see that one.
Yeah, somebody's going to buy me a ticket.
We're getting a little back, so maybe we'll splurge on your ticket this time. Thank you so much. Yeah.
You can do the $8 for a matinee.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. We can do that. Thank God. No, we're going to go actually make you take off of work on a Tuesday so I can spend $5.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'll do it. I'll just bring my work computer.
Right, there we go. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm working from home today. I actually just read an article about someone who has 3 full-time jobs working from home, but they don't overlap in hours. And so, like, there's nothing illegal about it. But I was looking at it going, that's nuts.
Yeah.
And they don't, like, crazy. Leave the house. That means, like, they literally are on the clock for almost all 24 hours of their day.
That's so crazy. Could you imagine?
No.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I love working from home, but if I'm not done after 8 hours, it's crazy.
Well, and, like, I work from home a couple days a week, but, like, my job necessitates that I'm on the road. And if I wasn't, I would die. I have to be, like, up and, like, there are days where, like, I'm working from home and be like, lunch break, time to just drive down the street for no reason.
Yeah.
Just because I need to.
Take a walk.
Yeah. Yeah. Get outside. Exactly.
Sometimes I just sit and watch Pepper outside.
Pepper is your, pit mix as well, right?
Yeah, well, she's a pet. She's like a cow, but smaller.
Yeah.
She just grazes all day.
Okay.
Like a little dummy.
She's a sweetie.
Chokes on random things from the compost garden. Well, she's an idiot. I love her.
Well, so she literally eats shit. That's fantastic.
Yeah, she loves it.
Dogs do that.
They do.
Another movie coming out that just got purchased and is set to release in 2024 is a movie called Long Legs. And when I saw the name, I thought, oh, it's a spider movie. Nope, not at all. It's directed by Oz Perkins. Are you familiar with Oz Perkins?
I don't think so.
So are you familiar with Anthony Perkins, like the classic actor, like Psycho? Yeah. It's his son.
Oh.
So he's a director.
Yeah.
And he did a movie called Black Coat's Daughter that was pretty popular. Well, not that popular.
Yeah.
With Emma Roberts.
I don't think I've seen it.
And then there's a movie on Netflix called I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House that he directed.
I don't think I saw that either.
And I think he did an episode of the new Twilight Zone that that Jordan Peele directs.
Okay.
Or runs. He's the showrunner. He directed one of the episodes. And that Gretel and Hansel movie that came out a couple years ago that didn't do horribly well. Mm. That was, man. But it was at the very beginning of the pandemic. So I think it was one of those like where they were trying to still put movies in the theater and
nobody
was going.
Is it the one that's like a fight movie? Like it's
the girl from It. So the redhead girl from It, Sophia, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Is Gretel. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's Gretel. I didn't watch. Here's the thing. I think I might have watched it and fallen asleep and then just not gone back to it because it just didn't catch me.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's his fault necessarily, as like generally a lot of like fairy tale stuff has to be like really hit me for me to like be interested.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But I really like his style. He's a he's got a very artistic look and style to like what he does, but it's interesting to see because I'm not sure exactly how his style is going to work with Nick Cage. I guess we'll see. To be honest, Nick Cage has worked with every kind of style there is, so he'll probably still be Nick Cage in the movie.
Yeah.
His character's name is Lee Harker. He's a talented new FBI agent who's been assigned to an unsolved case of a serial killer. And as the investigation becomes more complicated and occult evidence is uncovered, he realizes that a personal link to the killer exists and he has to act quickly or his family might be next.
Interesting. Does he have an accent in it?
No, and actually, I just messed up. Lee Harker's not him. Lee Harker is the other lead. He is the serial killer.
Oh. Wait, so Cage is the serial killer?
It looks like it.
Oh, my God.
Micah Monroe is the serial. So it's actually a female protagonist. If you're familiar with her, have you ever seen The Guest?
Yeah.
She's the main girl in The Guest, the high school blonde girl. And she's in, like, a whole bunch of stuff. She plays, like, the grown-up version of the little girl from Independence Day and the Independence Day sequel and a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, I actually really like her a lot. I never heard of the movie till now when I saw it. It was one of the first movies purchased at one of the big festivals.
Oh, really?
It's not festival, like a movie festival traditionally, but they have these, what you would call like an industry festival or gathering where like all the industry people come and you pitch movies, and so it's already like in pre-production but they need money to finish it kind of thing. So I guess it just got sold and it's got a release, well, not a date yet, but it's set to release in 2024. So it sounds like an interesting movie.
Weird, we're in 2023.
I could see Nick Cage as a serial killer.
Yeah, he probably is in real life.
He probably wouldn't be as broke and needing the jobs if he had ways to get money that were...
He needs lawyers. He's spending all of his money on lawyers.
Mm. It's possible. Nick, if you're listening...
Either that or he's not doing accusing you of anything. Fucking weird. Yeah. He has a weird hobby. I can feel it.
Oh, no. He definitely has weird hobbies.
He, collects baby skulls.
Maybe.
Off the black market.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's what I'm going to guess.
But I think somebody else actually goes to the dark web for him because I can't see him being good at that. Like, I don't see him as, like, a computer nerd that can go on the dark web and find things.
He's, like, Googling dark web.
Yeah. How to get on dark web.
Baby skulls for sale.
So much easier when you can just walk down, you know, the street and find a baby skull.
I know.
Yeah. Now you gotta go online.
I know. It's production. Fucking supply chain's a mess.
You know what, though? Baby skulls are a good segue. Because, well, here's why. Because I think baby skulls are something that David Lynch would certainly put in his movie.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So I want to start, before we even dive into Wild at Heart, I'm gonna talk a little bit about why I picked this movie.
Because you knew I'd hate it.
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't necessarily know you'd hate the movie because you hadn't seen a lot of David Lynch, but you did tell me that you liked the first season and maybe part of the second. Like, you saw early, back in the day, Twin Peaks.
Yeah. Which I loved.
Yeah, and the first, it's a soap opera, really. Yeah. And it's ridiculous, and it's a lot of fun. And especially the first, like, season to season and a half is really good. The third season that only came out a couple years ago is completely different tonally. Has some of the weird soap opera stuff, but a lot of, like, more avant-garde horror film stuff in it. Very artsy.
Yeah, I can see that.
If you watch a lot of Lynch, which I have watched a lot of Lynch. Not everything, but a lot. He's fucking weird.
Yeah, I think he's up there with, like, John Waters.
Different type of weird, but yes.
I don't know. It was very similar to Crybaby.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. There's definitely some weirdness in the way they do their dialogue and stuff. Yeah. There's definitely some similarities in their cinematography in their films.
It almost felt like John Waters makes fun of David Lynch. That's how I think his style is.
Interesting.
Like, David Lynch feels serious. Like, this movie feels like he was 100% sincere. And John Waters feels like he's making fun of David Lynch's sincerity.
I would only push back because I think they're contemporaries. They both started making stuff in the late 60s. But you're not necessarily suggesting that he does that, just that it feels that way. And I get what you're saying. But I think there's a level of sincerity in both of their film, both of their catalogs that's different type of sincerity, though. But like, John Waters, like, my favorite John Waters film, which people always laugh at me because it's, like, actually one of his least John Waters-y films, is Pecker.
Yeah.
which is about this weird little photographer guy by that Ed Furlong plays, and it's a lot of fun. It's got a lot of his quirkiness in it, but it's like John Waters' quirkiness through a mainstream lens almost.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit more like if you're not going to go watch Pink Flamingos or Multiple Maniacs and be like, oh, that's just easy to digest. No, that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Pecker is like if you were introducing somebody who watches more mainstream film into John Waters.
Yeah.
But I've always really liked it. It's not my favorite. I used to call it my favorite. I think my favorite's probably Serial Mom.
Yeah.
Because it's so fucking fun.
I don't think I've seen Serial Mom.
Oh, man. It's Kathleen Turner as a mother who's a serial killer, basically.
That's nice.
It's fantastic.
I like that.
So, yeah. It's a good one. But David Lynch, I forgot how extremely David Lynch-y this movie is.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And I can see if you don't like this movie, which, spoiler alert, I'm pretty sure you don't. I think a lot of Lynch's deeper cuts are not for you, probably.
Well, so the thing I struggle with this movie is it serious or not? Because there's mixed reviews. It's listed as a drama/crime movie, right?
Sure.
None comedy. No comedy, no satire is in any of the descriptions for this movie. I talk to people about this movie and they're like, oh, well, it's supposed to be like that. It's a joke. Like, it's jokey. And I'm like, I don't think it is. Like, I think he's serious. And that's like the reviews online. They're like, oh, this movie is hilarious. And then the next review is less like, it's so sincere and so raw and so this and so that. So, like, is it supposed to be a joke or not?
So the more I watch Lynch in general,
yeah,
is I think he is laughing with you in a lot of his stuff, yeah. I don't think that means it's necessarily meant to be a joke so much as like there's humor in how weird humanity is.
Yeah.
And he's really looking to, like, his characters are always super quirky.
Yeah, because they're not like real people. Like, not a single one. There is not a single human character in this movie that would like be like a real life person.
Trying to think.
Fucking Sailor is like an Elvis fucking knockoff.
Sure.
And he, the fucking thing about the snakeskin jacket, it represents my individuality.
I love that he says that line like over six times in the movie.
Again.
Oh, but that's like, so good.
That his character would never be a character. And I'm not just talking about because of his accent being fucked up the entire movie. But like, that is not a real person in real life, right? That none of the characters are relatable. Lula's mom with the lipstick all over her face being a fucking batshit nut job. Like,
I mean, I know batshit nut jobs, but not necessarily ones like
that.
Her.
No, like, that tries to seduce somebody and then sets them up for crimes and does all that weird shit and forbids her daughter to see her, but like wants to fuck him. Like, that person doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's weird that she wants to fuck Sailor too. Isn't that that's bizarre?
And even Lula doesn't exist. She doesn't fucking exist. There's not a single person like her.
I have to apologize, and I think I made a note for this in the last episode too. Is that when we were talking about picking a movie, I think I referred to Laura Dern as Helen Hunt.
Oh, really?
They're so not the same person at all.
Yeah, I fucking love Laura Dern.
But I think there's...
I hated her in this movie.
In my weird, like, 90s era, I feel like they had a little enough of a similar look to them, and they both...
Yeah, I could see that.
That I think in my head, I went back, and as soon as after we recorded, I went, oh, what, did I call her Helen Hunt? That's definitely Laura Dern. Well, not only is it Laura Dern because it's Laura Dern in the movie, but Laura Dern is a frequent David Lynch collaborator.
Yeah.
So, like, I should have realized that very, very quickly. But anyway.
90s blonde.
Yeah. I
get it.
I like the movie quite a bit still, but it is definitely weirder than I first remembered.
Yeah.
And I would actually, though, I would say that even though he's probably not even meant to be human, I do think that Willem Dafoe's character is utterly horrifying.
Dude, Willem Dafoe in general is horrifying to me. He scares me.
What is it with the gold grills and how that... How, doesn't that make it worse?
But like yellowy, weird teeth?
His teeth things really like messed me up.
Yeah. So like Willem Dafoe scares me on like a basic level because it's like he has resting bitch face, but it's like resting sinister face.
Yeah.
Like he probably wakes up in the morning looking like he's about to like slaughter somebody, but he's like having the best day.
Casting choice of all time.
Great casting for that character because he's supposed to be a fucking creepy.
My favorite
creepy.
Of his, the fact that he was the first Green Goblin.
Yeah.
He literally is Norman Osborn.
Oh, yeah.
And
for
so,
sure.
like, this character is like, what if Norman Osborn lived in the doldrums and didn't have all this money?
Yeah.
But he's very similar in that same kind of sinister, I can do creepy, what I want.
Like, and, I just want to make you as uncomfortable as possible kind of
that,
thing.
That weird, like, rapey scene. Oh, God. One really gets me.
That whole thing with, like, trigger warning, because the whole movie is about rape. Mm-hmm. The casualness of the rape in this movie is so upsetting to me, because it's like, there's like that first conversation where Lula's like, my mama told me that when I was 15 I would want to be having sex and blah blah blah, like talking about something, and then Sailor's like, weren't you raped at 13 by your uncle Peanut? And she was like, yeah, and like, that's it.
Well, and then like, the flashbacks are super fucked up and weird.
So fucked up and kept happening.
Right.
And
they happen at the weirdest times. Weird. You're not ready for it. All of a sudden, there's a flashback.
She's just like talking, and then it fades to that same scene, which also to me is so lazy, because it's like the same scene, repeated over and over again. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing new to it. It doesn't add anything. It's just like a shock value. And it reminds me of like this professor my friend had in art school who was like, if art doesn't shock you, it's not art. That's what this whole movie is. It's just like, it has to upset everybody.
I think to a certain extent, I'll bet you David Lynch believes that.
Yeah.
To some extent, because of having seen his stuff.
All the rape very little is so casual. Yeah. It's like so casual. It's that, so disgusting.
So he is, Willem Dafoe's character is probably my second favorite's the wrong word. But the second most horrifying character in my mind of Lynch's films, although if we get into Twin Peaks and Bob and some other stuff, I might categorize them as much. But in Blue Velvet, Dennis Hopper's character is honestly one of the scariest on-screen monsters, and he's a human.
Yeah,
I would call him monster, not even villain, because he is a monster.
Well, that's how Willem Dafoe felt in this movie. Yeah. He felt fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
I think Raven said that's her sleep paralysis demon is Willem Dafoe in this movie.
That's fair,
because he is fucking terrifying. And I do think, like, I wasn't nuts about the character itself, because it really made me uncomfortable, but he did such a good job.
I mean, it's clear Willem Dafoe is a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, he's fucking amazing. Yeah. In my opinion, I don't think he really belonged in this movie, because I think he was too perfect. Like, he was too
good.
You
didn't even like Laura Dern in this, you said.
No, and I love Laura Dern. Mm,
interesting.
And that's something that upset me, too. I was like, her accent, obviously all over the place. She also, like, I couldn't nail down her character. Like, she went from like this like fun party girl to like super aloof to like manic pixie dream girl to like super serious to super like damsel in distress, like lovey-dovey, like what do they call the femme fatale kind of character. Like, she was all over the place, and I don't really think that she got enough direction on her character.
Probably true.
So I think that was like a big thing, but usually I love her, and I couldn't stand her. I thought she was funny more than anything else. Like, I couldn't take anything she said seriously. Again, it reminded me of Crybaby. Because
fair.
It reminded me of that same, I can't remember her name, the blonde girl.
There's definitely an aesthetic to, when you bring up Crybaby, that greaser aesthetic that I think fits in this, because of Nick Cage's, you know, as you called him, a wannabe Elvis.
Yeah.
That's definitely that greaser kind of feel. Besides the fact that, with you saying you like Twin Peaks and me thinking, okay, well, maybe she likes David Lynch, which I'm not sure about
David
anymore.
Lynch?
I also thought this movie would be, because this is one of the characters from a certain era of Nick Cage's career that I think he's channeling when he's being Nicky in The Unbearable Weight. This and
that
when
would
we
make
get,
sense.
When we get to Valley Girl and some of those where they're a little more... high school-y too, which he's kind of a little more high school-y in Unbearable Weight. But I think they're in this era of this 90s era and even late 80s era of his career. I think those were the characters he was rechanneling when he was being Nicky.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
not being able to hold an accent.
Yeah. Well, that's his character in every movie.
Every fucking movie. Like, he went from like, oh, there, baby child, little peanut, oh, God, I love you so much, old girl, and to like,
just talking.
Hey, can you come over here, Peanut? Like, to like just Sylvester Stallone, like to Elvis again, to just Nick Cage. Like, it was so crazy.
So
Where does his twang come from?
I don't know.
Because he's from California.
Sure.
I went on a deep dive about Nick Cage.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a Coppola.
Yeah, he has no ties to the South. Mm-mm. But every fucking film, he has that twang. He's never lived in the South.
Well, that's why his twang is so bad.
I know, but why does he have it?
I don't
Let know. It go!
So, before we keep diving in, because we dove in pretty quick, the IMDb summary is one sentence. It's young lovers, Sailor and Lula, run from a variety of weirdos that Lula's mom has hired to kill Sailor. I'm not going to read the longer synopsis because I think that that summarizes the basic gist of the movie well enough. But if you look it up on Rotten Tomatoes, it says the critic consensus is one of director David Lynch's more uneven efforts, which yeah. I think you would agree. Wild at Heart is held together by his distinctive sensibilities and compelling work from Nick Cage and Laura Dern. Now, you don't agree with the compelling work, although maybe it's compelling, maybe not compellingly good, but it does make you want to watch.
I mean, it was entertaining.
Sure.
I have to give it that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say compelling.
Yeah.
I was compelled to turn it off a lot, okay. But it was entertaining.
Critic score is pretty high, 66%, yeah. Although you and I were talking earlier that the 66% is wildly skewed from people who are like in the 90s to people who are like, you know, bad. And so while it sounds pretty high, 66 is pretty high, the range of bad and good in that is pretty significant. And the audience score is pretty high too. It's 81%. Mind you, we've talked before about how I don't think Rotten Tomatoes is worth shit anyway, but it just gives us an idea of what other people think.
Can I read one?
Please.
Or at least the beginning
of
one?
I love when you pick one of your favorites.
Okay,
yes.
So this movie is honestly crazy. This is the type of movie you show to someone who has never seen a movie, so they never want to watch another movie.
So it's like if aliens came to this world and they were like, what is a movie?
And you show them and they're like, okay, I'm good. I'll never want to see it. I don't want to see it again.
Interesting. So I think we've covered our initial impressions here. I'm gonna put you through the grueling effort of having to say good things. So the old watch your fucking mouth role reversal segment, you know, my face off where we switch sides. And I say some things I didn't like about Nick and about the film, and you say some things you did. Do you want to go first or second in this?
I'll go first.
Okay, let's hear. What do you like about the film, and what do you like about Nick specifically?
Oh, God. So about the film, I'm going to go and guess that this was supposed to have funny moments in it.
I think so.
That it wasn't supposed to be serious. I love the part where they're like slam dancing to like metal.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they said they were going dancing, I didn't think it was going to be that. But they're just like fucking moshing.
You like when they do it on the side of the road too?
Yeah. It's just so fucking goofy. But, and then it goes from that to like, he's like, do you know these ones, this one, fellas? And then they do like a doo-wop song.
Well, it's actually an Elvis song.
Yeah. It's just, it's so funny. Just like the metal band knew this fucking song. It was just so funny. And it made me laugh so hard. And I just thought
it
was such a great
scene. I know every
thrash
metal band I know knows the entire Elvis catalog.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No problem. Let's slow it down, folks. So I thought that was really funny. So there was like a lot of funny, like entertaining aspects to it.
Sure.
About Cage specifically. Oh, man. This is going to be a tough one. I mean,
you don't like his snakeskins?
I did like that line because I thought it was so stupid.
Well, it was a character development to keep saying
my
that.
This snakeskin jacket represents my individuality.
Yeah.
Like,
every time he said so that, I thought of you like, oh, she's gonna have a blast with this line.
Yeah. So I thought that was like funny, but also it enraged me at the same time.
Oh, sure.
So he delivered it well.
Okay.
If it was meant to piss me off, it did. Your turn.
So it feels like a cheat code to just say his voice and his accent are a bad thing. Because it feels like a cheat code I could say about almost every movie.
Yeah, that's fine. You can say that.
But I am going to say it as one of the things because it's becoming like maybe a new segment we have to have that's just about his accent in a film. Because every film we talk about it.
It's all over the place.
So one of my negatives is definitely his voice is completely all over the place from the, I mean, it just keeps changing throughout the whole movie, which is ridiculous. I would say that the other thing I think even the positive reviews, and like here it said in the critical consensus from Rotten Tomatoes, it's a very uneven movie.
Yeah.
While I like the weirdness, and uneven is sometimes something that Lynch is.
Yeah.
I can usually find the threads that get you from one place to another, and I didn't necessarily see that in this movie.
Yeah.
In times. You know, we talked about the flashback scenes to the rape from the, of the uncle. Like, they just come up and disappear again.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even, like, there's no processing of that moment.
Yeah.
Or, like, there is at one point when we first learn about it.
Yeah.
But then we keep seeing flashbacks to it without it them processing it again. Yeah, no.
Like, nothing to the plot, nothing to the character. Like, just a mention. It was, like, just a shock.
Yeah, you. Whereas, like you know, the other rapey thing that really happens in the movie is the whole Willem Dafoe thing.
Yeah.
But his character, I think it is necessary to show how much of a creep he is.
Yeah, for sure.
Once you mention that she was raped and that has a lot to do with where she fits sexually or whatever, which they allude to, but they never actually show how it has affected her, really. I think it's, anyway. You could probably let it go and not bring it back up. Because I don't know that it did add anything to keep going to
it
the
really
same.
It didn't.
Like, slight variation of the same scene over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe the idea was to create, you know, to reinforce that grimy aesthetic and whatever, but or show why she's so vulnerable. I don't know. I'm not really sure because I feel like we showed other ways she was vulnerable. We've already established that.
You could do that in dialogue so easy without the flashback. Yeah. Like, she it's not like there wasn't points where she rambled on for 40 minutes.
Right.
Because there were. There were so many points where she was just talking and not really saying much, but just like telling a story about like the whole thing with Del.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Yeah, I don't.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'm not even sure the Del character was important to the film at all.
He did it. And except that story, I clocked it. It was like 15 minutes.
I wonder if.
It was insane.
If that was just, hey, we have access to Crispin Glover. How do we get him in the film?
He wants to be on this. Where do we put him? Like.
You mean the dad from Back to the Future wants to be in my movie?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's put him
in.
Yeah, and she like, talked about him for 15 minutes. You could have used the dialogue to describe how she was affected by that horrible thing that happened to her instead of flashing that rape scene over and over again.
Right.
It just was so crass and crude.
Yeah, I mean.
It wasn't like artsy. I feel like he was like trying to be like artsy about it.
Yeah, I think there's stuff about the aesthetic in this film I really like. And there's things that are very Lynchy in the cinematography and the editing that I do like. Because I like a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, there was like a lot of like really cool things to look about.
But I agree. I think the most honest criticism I can make, like no matter what I say about anything else, is it's a very uneven movie.
Yeah.
And
the transitions.
And like.
So weird.
I think the ending's kind of shit, too.
Yeah. The Glinda, the good witch coming out of nowhere?
Yeah, I don't know.
The fuck was that?
Yeah, I don't know. So.
Oh, God, that reuniting.
Yeah.
That was so uncomfortable.
Right.
And it reminded me of fucking Con Air when he was just like, nice to meet you, son.
He basically, you know, he basically did that same scene with his daughter.
Exactly. And then, like, between him and Laura Dern, like, there was nothing. There was none chemistry. And it was like they were meeting for the first time on a blind date. And he was like, she's like, hello, sailor. And he's like,
hi, and then she said hi, then got out of the car and cried. And that was like, that was it.
And she was like, are you hungry? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, okay, let's go. And then he was like, this is stupid. Like, I shouldn't be here. Goodbye. Take care of yourself. And then gets like hit by a car or whatever the fuck happens to him. And the good witch comes out.
Do you like.
What the fuck was that?
Despite the fact I don't completely get. I get what they're trying to do, but it doesn't do it well. I really love the scene where he picks a fight with a whole gang.
Oh my God.
And then he thanks them for beating him up. Because it's like his character change. It was what revealed to him that he needed to go like turn himself in and all. Like what?
Yeah, it's bananas to me. I mean, it kind of that reminds me of just like Cage himself.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that would totally be like an in real life kind of move for him. Because he was on massive amounts of coke at this time.
Oh, without a doubt.
This was like his coke phase.
Oh.
Like late 90s or early 90s.
Hmm. Maybe he's the cocaine bear.
Maybe he is.
We'll find out today because we're going to be both going to see Cocaine Bear today. So by the time this episode drops, we'll have seen Cocaine Bear. And
join us for our new podcast, Cocaine Bear. It's
which is actually
about
just the same. It's actually the same podcast. It's Cage Match. We're just changing the name because he's the Cocaine Bear. So all right. So we've covered a lot of the film already. Is there anything else about the film that you specifically do or don't like? Any other notes about Cage that really grinded your gears in this one?
Pretty much everything about Cage bothered me in this. It's just, I feel like it makes sense that he's, like, I get that you like David Lynch. I can see the qualities that make him a good director. But it makes sense that he's in this movie because all of the characters in this movie are so fucking all over the place. Mm-hmm. And there's barely any character development. There's a lot of repeating. There's a lot of, like, really random stories. So I think he is kind of perfect for this movie. But, like, it's what I don't like about Cage is in this movie is, like, his uneven accents, the inability to have, like, a singular tone throughout the movie. He's so sporadic. It's like he randomly gets, like, the cocaine drips and is just like, ah, I'm gonna be yelling now, and then he, like, gets really calm and really low, and he's just all over the place. So just wasn't a fan. I was really disappointed in, like, Laura Dern's performance, though, which was a bummer. That was, like, a big thing for me because I do love her so much. I just think she was so fucking bad.
I feel like I need to look at more of this era of Laura Dern to see if I truly love her in this era, because I think she does the mom thing well a little bit later in her career.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether or not I like her in this era because I don't know off the top of my head what other stuff I should, yeah. But I don't think she's particularly good. I don't think he. Now I do. I agree with the compelling. But what I mean by compelling is I want to watch.
Yeah.
I don't want to stop. I don't want to look away. But it doesn't mean I think it's good all the time. Oh, and that's actually a quality of Lynch that I love, is that I find him compelling because I don't want to really look away. You could argue that there's a movie he has, I'm blanking on the name, Straight Story? Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Where it's a very straight story. It's a very... I guess you'd call it, more of a traditional film than a lot of his other stuff. And it's definitely something that it was actually put out by Buena Vista, which is Disney. And it's about this guy journeying. It's a biographical, like, journey film of about a guy who's a farmer. And it's, to me, like, the least Lynchian film in its composition. And I don't really love it. But you could probably argue that it's one of his most well-made films.
Yeah.
And so what I like about Lynch isn't that they're well-made. It's that they're quirky and fun and weird. And this movie is all of that. So I like that a lot. My favorite Lynch films are probably like Blue Velvet, which is like... people who aren't familiar with Blue Velvet, it's kind of your weird thriller movie with quirky stuff and definitely informs it definitely fits in with the early Twin Peaks era in a lot of ways. Same lead, so it's pretty big in that regard. But I say that to say, even that film, much more even than this film, because I think I understand people's motivations better. I don't understand the characters' motivations in this a lot.
Yeah, Blue Velvet's compared to this movie a lot.
Well, there's a lot
aesthetically
similar. And you have in that that horrible, monstrous villain character in Defoe, you have an even, if it's possible, even more monstrous Dennis Hopper, who, like I said, to me is maybe one of the scariest on-screen monsters I've ever seen, hyped up on, laughing gas, like he's a dentist. He huffs it and then he rapes and beats people and does horrible things. That's a really interesting movie. There's no Nick Cage in it, so you might like it. But it's also got a lot of the same sensibilities as this, and I think so. I'm not 100% sure if that fits, with what you dig. But I definitely like Lynch, and but Lynch is definitely something that, like, I have to be in the mood for too. Like, I can't just watch a Lynch film all the time.
Yeah, like out of the blue.
Yeah. So I totally get that. For me, what I like in this movie is that it's super Lynchy, super weird, super fun, compelling in that I don't want to look away.
Yeah.
What I don't like is that it's uneven, but sometimes I don't necessarily mind that it's uneven because it's also, like, it's part of what makes it so weird. Yeah. So like to say a Lynch film's uneven is not necessarily a rare thing, although this one is decidedly so.
Yeah.
And part of it is like those lack of motivation from the characters. You develop a character, but you still don't understand why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because it's not like he doesn't try to develop the characters. There's backstories shown.
There's just too much.
And it's just not, it doesn't all work.
And like, that's like the whole thing is like, there's such like risky, weird choices he's making. And like the payoff is nothing.
Right. Well, and that's the mark of Lynch, is risky, weird choices. So
yeah, but usually there's like some sort of payoff that it develops, or like I haven't seen Blue Velvet, but like the comparisons.
A much better third act.
Yeah, the comparisons to Blue Velvet is like, in Blue Velvet there was like risks and there was weird shit, but it all came together and it was all together, for sure. All good in the end. Where like this one was like, he's just like throwing shit at the wall.
I feel like, you know what I mean? I feel like this movie, as much as I gave it 3.5 or 4 stars, I'm going to go with 3.5 today. Spoiler, we're going to get there in a minute. But in my letterbox, I gave it something like that. But that said, I also don't completely love it. Like, but Blue Velvet, on the other hand, I think really, really hits the notes that this one is trying to. And the biggest difference, like I'm saying, and I think what would maybe make this movie stronger, is just a better ending that makes more sense to me. You know, her ability or inability to have any chemistry with him at the end is weird.
So weird.
And it's not like it's just awkward because they haven't seen each other. It feels like they just met.
Yeah, they never have seen each other ever.
Like, it's almost like they filmed that scene first.
Yeah, and it's like
super weird.
It's so weird because like the passion is there before she gets there, like where her mom was just like, what if I asked you not to see him? And she was just like, then I'll see him anyway. And she's like, what if I told you not to see him? And she was like, then I'd rip your fucking arms and your legs out of your socket. Like, she loses her mind that her mom would like deign to forbid her love.
Right.
And then she goes and she sees him. And she's like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, what's up? You want to eat? Like, this is your kid.
I almost feel like they were trying to see this character so weird. Who's extremely bipolar without, like, really showing it the right way.
Yeah. And that's, like, the whole thing about this movie is, like, it could have been an hour.
Probably.
It could have been 1 hour. But they just kept on throwing this weird shit in and in. And it wasn't developing the characters. It wasn't moving the plot along. I can't get over the Christmas Dell or Jingle Dell fucking story that lasted 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just was, it really bothered me. I think also my ADHD kicked in too, because I was like, you were talking so slow. shut up, stop telling the story. Because it was like very much like, and Dell loved Christmas, and Christmas loved Dell, and Dell lost his mind when he found out it was summertime. Like, it was so fucking annoying. I just, like, couldn't with it.
All right.
Sorry.
Before we go into the overall score, and we actually compare it to all the films, can I just get you to agree one thing? This is better than Trapped in Paradise, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, for sure.
All right, cool.
Well, it was very entertaining. Trapped in Paradise was just fucking dumb. It was so fucking stupid.
I still can't get over that an actor I love in Dana Carvey is that bad in that movie.
I know. Oh. It made me so sad. I'm like, they're brothers? Where?
Yeah, him and John Lovitz and Nick Cage. Yeah, they all look so alike. So with that in mind, right, let's before we dive into where it ranks in all of the films, what's your overall score out of 5 here? I'm going to go 3.5.
I'm going to go with a 1.
Okay.
Just because there were, like, I did get some laughs out of it, but no more than a 1.
And Rue is going with, it sounded like 2.
I think he said 3.
Wow.
Yeah, Rue said
3. I'll take the 3. But,
he said, roof, roof, roof. Yeah. That was 3.
Oh, he did say roof, roof. There were 3 roofs. Okay, that's a good point. So I owe everybody a revisit of the Cage-O-Meter that I have not done in months. Yeah. But next episode, I'm promising that we're going to look at that and we're going to see where we rank now.
We should post it.
We will. Yeah. Well, in fact, we'll do it before. We'll review it next month. In the next couple weeks, we'll also put it up. We need to up
a tracker.
Our social media content a little bit.
Yeah, I'll do it.
So we'll definitely do that. But in addition to that, I do want to look at where it ranks. So I think we had called last time. I think we might have agreed that Trapped in Paradise was maybe one of our worst movies.
Yeah.
And I think we had both kind of agreed that the one we both liked the most was Con Air.
Yeah.
So everything's kind of in between. Is this closer to the Con Air side or the Trapped in Paradise side for you? You gave it a one, so I'm guessing the Trapped in Paradise.
Yeah, Trapped in Paradise. Because it was entertaining, but there was so much wrong with it.
Okay. So it's better or worse than Mandy for you?
Better. What did I give Mandy?
I think you gave it a one as well.
Yeah.
But I think the problem with Mandy is the slow.
Yeah. Let me give this a 1.5 then.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to give
Because there's an entertaining factor still?
Yeah.
I got you.
Because it was definitely more watchable than Mandy.
Okay. And I think with the Ghost Rider films, we kind of enjoyed them for how bad they were. So they're a little higher because they're enjoyable, but not necessarily good.
Yeah.
And I think if I remember correctly, your Unbearable Weight might have been your second highest, but mostly because of Pedro Pascal.
Oh my God, Daddy. I love him.
And since we haven't visited that movie, you know, that was our first movie. We haven't really talked about it in months. He's now all over the place.
I know. He blew up.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously in The Mandalorian, he's great, but you don't see his face.
Yeah.
So people
Last of Us.
Yeah. But Last that, of Us
and he
fantastic.
Is, it's like, people are interviewing him and he just does not give a shit.
Yeah.
He has no decorum in the best way possible. He like rolls up wearing like satin pajamas everywhere.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. And he's like, I'm your slutty daddy.
he's a entertaining gentleman who clearly is enjoying his moment in the sun and just relishing it, but also
did you watch
like,
his lie detector test?
I have not.
It's really funny.
I will check that
the
out.
First one, they're like, have you ever did drugs? He's like, no. And the guy's like, he's lying, and they're like, fuck. Like, he's like, shit.
I haven't watched those in a while, but they're usually it's generally so entertaining. Funny. I think there's a
his is
Jennifer Lawrence's one from years ago was the one that I always go back to. But yeah, they're really fun. Oh well, I mean, so there's things we agree on. We both can kind of say Con Air is a blast. We both can say Trapped in Paradise is dog shit.
Yeah.
And everything, while I think this one will probably, when we average out our scores, be dead in the middle because you're really low and I'm pretty, but I'm not high.
Yeah.
We'll probably be like in the middle. But, and I think that's a fair place for it.
Yeah.
I am anxious to see that if you saw some other David Lynch stuff, what you'd think if it didn't
have
Nick Cage.
I think I'm
going to
watch Blue Velvet because I keep on seeing it.
But what's interesting is, I don't know if you're going to like it because to me, in a lot of ways, Nick Cage might be the actor perfectly born to work with David Lynch.
I guess it, I mean, it really does work for his acting style.
Because it's so fucking out of left field. There's actually a movie that I would describe as Lynchian that's not by David Lynch that I think you would like a lot called, Knives and Skin. And it's by Jennifer Reeder. And it's just, it's like, what if David Lynch were to direct a teen film that's part Glee and part weird David Lynchian nightmare? I feel like you would dig this. It's super fucking weird. And Jennifer Reeder's also got a more modern sensibility to her than this. And I've liked all of her releases so far.
Yeah.
But I saw it for a film fest a few years ago. And then I've watched. I think it's on Hulu right now. So, but I'll remind you that after the show. But a couple of the things I want to highlight before we like wrap. One is I promised before we leave today, not on air here, guys, but before we leave today, we're gonna set a date for our next recording so that we're gonna stay on a monthly routine. So we promise that. Because I mentioned a film festival, reminded me.
Oh yeah,
the submissions are officially open for year two of
Skate or Die.
And Murder is officially on my team now, helping me with the planning. She's gonna be doing a lot of the logistical crap that I needed some help with last year, and unfortunately didn't get the help. And so now we can really focus on strengthening.
I think it's gonna
that.
Be nice and stress free for everyone.
I think we're gonna have a blast. We have a real team behind us. The people that helped me pick films last year are still the same people this year, and actually we've really already started narrowing some of that down. But then I also have like a whole nother team of logistical people with you and Raven from The Rink and my wife Brooke, where we're kind of like the logistics team.
Yeah,
where we're
getting
be focusing
the vendors,
on the vendors,
the beverages,
the food,
and everything.
And we've got a lot of real fun stuff, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
I think it'll allow you to enjoy it more.
I think so, and I'd also like to not break my foot.
Yeah, maybe you won't break your foot.
But I haven't even really announced that the submissions are open, but I put them up 2 days ago.
Do you want to announce the dates too?
I will. Yeah. But the submissions being open, I barely just mentioned it on social media, and we already have three.
Yeah.
They're all short films, and actually, I've watched one of them, which is a blast, and the other two I'm excited to check out. And I also have several other people who have reached out about sending their stuff that's coming out soon.
That's awesome.
So I'll give you guys a whole little blurb about the submissions in a second, but we should probably mention that it is September 22nd through 24th at Ringing Rocks Roller Rink in Pottstown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing a Friday night program that's going to have some special stuff, and a Sunday like program that's going to have the first half of the day is going to be like
lots
kind
of skating.
Family. Yes, there will be skating every day this year, which last year we only really built in a little, and we realized like, we're at a rink.
Yeah.
So we should probably skate every day.
Skate and watch horror movies at the same time. Go nuts. Yeah.
We're going to have a blast. Oh, we have some live music during the skating. It's going to be a lot of fun. So that's kind of what's happening. And we have three areas you can submit in. So if you are a filmmaker or you know filmmakers and you happen to be within a 90-mile-ish radius from Pottstown, that means you can submit for the local films. If you're not from a 90-mile, you can be from anywhere in the world. Or actually, I don't care if you're from Mars. I actually even put that
in
my blurb. I don't know that there's any Martians listening.
I haven't met one, but I'm sure there is.
Well, if there are Nick Cage fans here, there are some Martians listening. but both we have features and short films that you can submit as well. And submissions are going to be open through the end of or like mid-July. So you got time, but the sooner the better because you know, I'm already starting to watch them, and I'm really excited about it. So definitely check that out, skaterdiefestival.com.
Woohoo!
And as we wrap up, my last question for you, because it is the new year, besides Cocaine Bear, which we're obviously excited about, are there any other things you're excited about for music, movies, life?
I don't know.
I'm excited for Scream 6 because I'm a big Scream guy.
I'm actually excited for Renfield.
That's so funny. I really am.
Like, I mean, I could do without every single person I know tagging me in memes about Renfield.
Yeah, I do
literally
that a lot. Yeah.
Not just you. It's like 10 a day at this point. It's like, hey, murder.
Well, everybody already knew that you hated him, and then you started a podcast about how you hated him.
And now they're torturing me about it, which is fine. But I am actually really excited about it because it does look like a really good movie. Mm-hmm. It looks really stupid, like in the best way. So I'm actually pretty pumped about it.
Have you seen The Sorcerer's Apprentice?
No, I haven't.
But his weird role in that reminds me of like, because he's kind of this older wizard guy. It almost feels like there's going to be some channeling of that in this, except he's, you know, Dracula. But I keep thinking of the setup of like a young protagonist and him as this weird old guy.
Yeah. I think it's going to be.
I love Nicholas Holt too.
I think it's going to like make or break the scale for us because I think it's going to be really hard for me to shit on it because it does look really good.
Yeah.
So
it looks funny. And I mean,
yeah.
And I think that as super serious and self-serious as Nick Cage is,
I think he's silly goofy in this one.
I think he's pretty good when he decides to be willing to make fun of himself.
Yeah, I think that's like when I enjoy him
the
most.
So if he leans into the making fun of himself, and I think he is. After watching Unbearable Weight, I feel like he's at a point in his career where he's willing to do that.
That's like the whole reason I like Kick-Ass. Like,
right.
Because he's just a silly goofy guy. And I think he actually is.
He's literally playing Adam West in the modern day.
Yeah, I think he's so good in that type of way because he's like making fun of his quirks and the way he talks and his.
Yeah, I've been saving Kick-Ass for like when we have a couple that you don't like in a row.
I know.
It's time to watch Kick-Ass.
I think that's how it's going to have to be. But that and Bikini Kill. I'm finally seeing Bikini Kill.
That's so cool.
In June, I had my derby wife, Slay, bought me tickets.
That's awesome.
3 years ago.
Oh, and it got postponed
so many fucking times. Well, so it's finally happening.
Because of the So 3 years ago would have been the first time she was back on tour after her, yeah. her cancer, right?
Yeah. So I saw her right before like the world shut down
right.
in New York. They were so fucking good. Bikini Kill is one of my favorite bands.
Are you a fan of her other projects like Latigra and stuff?
Yes. Okay. But Bikini Kill is like
Yeah, that's fair. It's, a, like, it's my favorite.
That was like my, yeah. that was like my introduction to like the Riot Girl like punk yeah. scene. So I, as soon as I saw her in New York, I was like, I need to go see them again, like immediately. And then Slay bought me tickets for like my birthday in 2020.
Yeah,
so it's finally going again. So I think it's in June.
Where's it at?
It's at Franklin Theater, Franklin
Music Hall.
Electric Factory.
The old Electric Factory. It's called Franklin Music Hall now. Yep.
It's always going to be the Electric
Factory.
Yeah,
it's the factory.
But yeah, so it's up there. So I'm pretty pumped about that.
Very cool.
Yeah. What about you?
What do you got coming up? Starting another podcast with all the free time I have with my son in the next couple weeks.
Wait, Wes or Cash?
Cash.
Yeah?
We're going to be going over episode by episode. Now, the show's actually already launched the third season, but we're starting it after it's going to be about halfway done with the season to give people time to catch up on some episodes, like the people we're going to have as guests.
Yeah.
Let them actually watch stuff first. But we're going to be doing, it's the final season of the Wu-Tang Show.
Oh.
And so he's really into hip-hop.
Yeah.
And, we've got a couple rappers I've known for years and stuff that are going to come on as guests.
That's awesome.
And we're actually starting, we're going to kick it off. The first episode will probably be the week of my wife's birthday, which is in 2 weeks, which I will mention that we're having an awesome birthday party
I'm
for
so
her.
Pumped.
Very excited about that. Where we're all going to be dressing as her, our favorite It's Always Sunny characters.
It's going to be so stupid. I'm so excited.
But probably that week we'll launch it because the week prior, I'm bringing Cash to see GZA play Liquid Swords front to back on an anniversary tour.
You guys are such fucking cool parents.
So here's the coolest thing though about it is I didn't think we'd get to because both of the shows in our area.
Yeah.
We're 21 plus.
Oh.
So both, I got to give shout out to both.
Fake under, ID.
No, I'm just Underground Arts in Philly and Reverb in Reading.
Yeah.
Both list them as 21 plus. And I reached out to both of them and they both got back to me and said, as long as he stays with me all night, they'll put permission for him to come in.
That's awesome.
Because I told them about the podcast and we're starting this thing and they were really cool about it. And so shout out to both of them. And we're going to Reverb only because it's a Saturday.
Yeah.
The Underground Hour show was a Thursday.
Oh, great.
And I was trying not to have to take them out of school. And I like, if we're, it, and the show didn't start till like 9. So
yeah.
We wouldn't have been home till 1.
And yeah.
So we're going to the Reverb show. But I mean, it's really cool that we're getting to see GZA. And like, we got to see Wu-Tang as a whole this summer on their Wu-Tang Nas tour. And but this is more intimate. So Reverb, if people aren't familiar, obviously, it's a smaller venue.
Yeah.
So we're going to be like actually in a cool small venue seeing GZA as opposed to like in a giant amphitheater outside like we were seeing Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
So I'm really stoked about it. I'm trying to reach out to GZA's people to see if we can meet them. They're doing a bunch of meet and greets. I just don't have the money for them.
Yeah.
They're $200 a person. But you get to play chess against him if you pay.
What?
It. Well, because that's a big part of GZA's thing. He's a chess guy.
Yeah.
And so you can play a round of chess with GZA for $200, which is cool. If I had the money, I would totally do it.
That reminds me of like Prince and his ping pong thing,
where he
used to challenge people to ping pong all the time.
Yeah. So like the whole day prior to these shows, he had slots for people playing. So he's going to play a couple rounds, go get his lunch. He'll play a couple rounds. You know what I mean?
That's fucking awesome, though.
Yeah, and Cash is actually really good at chess.
At least he's going to do something cool, instead of just like shaking his hand.
I know,
leaving.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's really fun. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm sure I'll have more things to mention as we get closer to them. But I'm going to wrap up now and say thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, thanks.
Hopefully you enjoy this film more than Murder does. But she did have fun with it. So you can still come check it out. And in the next couple weeks after this episode drops, we'll announce our next movie. And you can tell us what you think.
Woohoo! Bye!
Love me. make me